south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
Yes, you heard me say this before. There are woke gringos and expats living here in Latin America, and I saw the limit the other day. An idiot woke gringo with a wife beater t-shirt, you know, showing off those arm tattoos. For once, I was thoroughly shocked and disgusted, and I don't shock easily. I saw he had a Pfizer tattoo. Man, talk about super uber woke. A god Pfizer tattoo. Which only goes to prove the theorem that civilizations and empires destroy themselves from within. And of course, we all know people who are obsessive about mask use. You know, they'd back off and make a big show of it if you came at them and weren't wearing one yourself. Along with those people who brag or used to brag about how many boosters they got. Some are paying and suffering for it now, too. And a lot of them are getting pretty scared now that the news isn't censored anymore. Or let's just say we're finding out how much the news really was censored during the COVID-iot crap. And now this guy with the Pfizer tattoo. Man, if I just would have ate a little more breakfast, I could have expressed my opinion and vomited on the guy. It's a sure bet if you asked any one of these vaxxer guys. Whether he or she leaned right or left or somewhere in between, they'd say they were progressives or liberals. Of course, I'd call them pathological progressive wokesters. But the visiting gringo tourist, whatever he was, with the Pfizer tattoo, I thought, man, now I've seen everything. That'd be reason, what, number 6226, why it's imperative to get the hell out of Dodge while you still can. And you know, all the while I was thinking, what's he doing down here in Latin America? Why would a guy like that so committed to Big Brother leave the home of the free and the land of the vaxxed? It's something Expat Eddie would call a miracle of stupidity. Yeah, Expat Eddie, always good for a few words of wisdom. There were times when I'd be walking with Expat Eddie in a people-watching area, and there'd be a guy or gal with a million tattoos and piercings sticking out of every orifice. And Expat Eddie'd be looking straight ahead, and he'd say out loud, another miracle of stupidity. Though never quite loud enough for the creature in question to hear it, but plenty loud enough for me to hear. Oh, and here's a question for all you guys and gals living up there in Big Brother land. How often do you self-censor? How often do you find yourself analyzing in your head what you're going to say before you say it in order not to offend certain wokesters and PC people in the crowd or in your family or at work or amongst your friends? Because, you know, people tell me all the time when you're living up in the States, Canada, Europe, Australia, New Zealand, wherever, they tell me spontaneous conversations have changed. They're not so spontaneous anymore. Gone are those days where you could just say things right off the top of your head. And if you said something a little rough or a little edgy or disagreeable, so what? That's part of conversation. That's how it came out. Now, you kind of have to think about it first. Because if you don't think a bit and monitor, even censor what you say, there's always someone in the crowd who will be offended. Have you noticed you can't blather on like you used to? Well, guess what? Down here in Latin America, you still can. There's no thought police, no cancel culture. Except, as you've heard me say before, on the gringo tourist trail. The pathologic progressives and the toxic libtards have landed. Isn't it funny how 95% of them are ex-public school teachers and ex-government workers? All I can say is save me from the gringo tourist trail, please. And as for up in the States, you know, I talk to my family up in Chicago quite a bit. People tell me now, depending on who you're with, you got to do a kind of dress rehearsal in your brain before you blather. If not, you're bound to get some heat from some a-hole, get canceled, or lose friends and acquaintances in the process. George Orwell would be proud, but that's no way to live. I guess if you're stuck in that environment for enough time, you get used to it. After all, it doesn't drop on your head like a dead weight. It creeps up on you slowly. Talk about 100 more reasons to get the hell out of Dodge. I say, don't cave. Say what you want to say. And if you lose some friends in the process, they weren't your friends. Good riddance. As for me, you probably figured out, I just don't apologize for any un-PC thing that I say. I don't even apologize for things I should be apologizing for. Unless, of course, it's my mother who scolds me into it. Amazing how whatever station or stage you reach in your life, especially if you get too big for your britches, it's your mother who could call you out in a second and turn you into a pile of spineless jello and self-doubt. Mothers can do that. Yep, they can. But somehow I've noticed A father can't, but a mother can. Doesn't work that much with dad. Shows you who's got the real power in the family, huh? Funny how when you're a young kid or an adolescent, you're still living at home, the voice of your dad when he got pissed was or could mean a real problem or a terrifying experience. Then suddenly, once you're out of the house and you reach a certain age, dad's scary, booming voice doesn't hold that kind of weight at all. But moms, when they scold, their authority never seems to diminish. They can still make you feel like a naughty kid inside. Can't be just my mother. It's got to be yours too, right? In other words, as expat Eddie says, once you're out of the house, you can tell your dad the f*** off. But no matter how old you are, you don't want to get testy with your mom. Same thing goes when you run into one of your old grade school or high school teachers. Doesn't matter how old you are or what position you've attained in life, you still greet him or her with extreme politeness. Hello, Miss Johnson or Mr. Johnson. And even when they insist, we just can't get used to calling them by their first names. Now, maybe you're thinking I'm living in a baby boomer or Gen Xer past, back in the day when teachers got and actually deserved some respect. Well, I can tell you this. Many times when I was living back in Chicago, I'd be out with my mom somewhere, and someone would walk up on the street or in the grocery store and say, "Hello, Mrs. M. Remember me? I'm so-and-so. I was in your English 101 or 201 class." And the guy or gal talking happened to be 30 or 40 years old. They were still calling her Mrs. M. And they were saying it with admiration and respect in their voices. Man, those days are long gone, huh? All right, I can tell you're getting bored. Enough of that rant. How about this for an interesting boots-on-the-ground story? A couple of days ago, my cleaning lady arrived at 8 sharp, as usual. But there was something going on. She was unusually happy. Now, my cleaning lady is an extremely happy person. She sings all the time. And thankfully, her voice ain't half bad. She can actually sing in tune, which is more than I can say for most of the girlfriends I've had. Not a single one had that gift, and as you know, or maybe you don't, every Latina will spontaneously bust a rhyme when her favorite or even not-so-favorite song comes on. Now, the difference is my cleaning lady will bust into a song without any music at all, whereas all the other Latinas I know need the actual music accompaniment. Whether it's on the radio, blasting from the speakers in a restaurant, or in a mall. Yeah, that's right. I've been in shopping centers and restaurants with Latinas. When they hear their favorite song, they sing a few lines or a verse or a chorus. Now, of course, they almost never sing the whole song. They'll just bust into a verse and sometimes even wiggle and jiggle a bit. You know, just for 5 or 10 seconds. And it happens in the car all the time, even when they're driving. You'll be driving along. Pull up at a stop sign or a stoplight. You'll turn your head and look into the windows of the car to the right or left of you. Quite often, you'll see the lady driver, or lady passenger, singing along at pretty high volume, too. Now, of course, that's not the case with Latino guys, though you'll see them mouthing the words to some song. They won't usually vocalize as much as the ladies, but I've seen Uber drivers do it many times. But thankfully, said Uber drivers, they almost never sing the whole song, only the 5 or 10 second chorus, the part everyone knows. Well, everyone except me. I just don't pay much attention to Latino music at all. I mean, it's everywhere, right? And it's blasting in your face half the time. But I refuse to clog what's left of my memory cells with the infantile crap that's on the Latin American music charts. Of course, you know I'm talking about reggaeton. Traditional Latin music, merengue, salsa, even some Latin rock can be pretty cool. Some of those non-reggaeton songs are pretty catchy. They've all got some kind of a hook in them somewhere, or they wouldn't be popular. Problem is, though, for us expats and gringos, you know, once in a while, a song gets stuck in your head and you can't get rid of it. Hopefully it's a decent song that doesn't drive you mad. Well, that's one of the unsung dangers of living down here in Latin America, getting one of those mindless reggaeton songs you're hearing over and over and over, stuck in your head, and not having a cyanide pill on hand or a loaded gun in your glove box. Talk about the Chinese water torture. I'll tell you, if Muslim terrorists had their own version of Guantanamo Bay, just give him a pair of headphones and pump up that reggaeton at full volume. In no time, he'd be on the floor sucking his thumb in the fetal position calling for mommy. But I digress. How'd we get from the cleaning lady to Guantanamo Bay? Anyway, it was 8 in the morning. She came into the house all super happy. She went into her purse, pulled out a brand new $100 bill. And she asked me if I could change it for some local funny money. Now, immediately, I thought, she gets paid about $300 a month. I know she doesn't get paid in U.S. dollars, and I know she never uses this stuff. Nobody does down here, except on or near the Gringo Tourist Trail. And we're definitely not on it. And if you're off the gringo tourist trail, the only way you have dollars is if you're getting them from friends, family, and illegal relatives up in the States as remesas. And I'd say about every other or every third family has some kind of remesas coming in. 50, 100, 200 bucks a month, and it always goes through Western Union or MoneyGram. Though I understand in El Salvador now, a lot of people are changing to the Bitcoin Lightning Network because you pay less than 10 cents for the transaction fee, whereas Western Union and MoneyGram take at least 5%. So that's 5 bucks on 100. So then 5 bucks versus a couple of cents? Who wouldn't use crypto anyway? I figured my cleaning lady was getting remises from somebody up in the States. But then again, I thought, she's been working for me a long while and never mentioned it. Besides that, if they're sending it to her through Western Union or MoneyGram, they automatically switch it into the local funny money. So why would she have a $100 bill and ask me to change it? So I said, what's up? Where'd you get it? She put her hands together as if saying a prayer and said, Dios me regaló hoy. God gave me a gift today. She said, I was in the big central market before I came to work, and I saw the corner of it sticking out from under a bench. She said, I looked around, no one was there, so I took it. Then I said, good for you, this is your lucky day. 100 bucks is almost 2 weeks' work. I said, sure, I'll change it for you, and I took it, and I thought, wait a minute, this doesn't feel right. But what do I know? Then I held it up to the light. It had all the right water markings and stuff, so I thought, maybe it's me. Then, just for grins, I went into my own stash, pulled out a fresh $100 bill, put them both side by side, and gave them the once-over. They looked the same. To my eyes, exactly the same. Then, when I held mine up to the light, I noticed on the left there was a little mylar strip all the way through it that said, in tiny letters, $100, $100, $100, over and over again. But you had to look really close to see that. Then, I held up the Franklin in question. It was missing that strip. So I gave my cleaning lady the bad news. I said, look, I think I can guess what was going on there. Someone with a fake hundred, or maybe a lot of fake hundreds, figured the safest place to dump them was in the big central market where nobody really knows what they're looking at anyway. No one has one of those little UV light machines. I've been there countless times and I've never seen anyone use one. Of course, I don't see people using dollars there either, but I'm sure if you're buying a lot of stuff or something very big and expensive, and if you look like a gringo, I'm sure they'll take dollars. So the big market's the perfect place to drop one. It's also chaotic and informal. Man, it's hard to explain how chaotic and amazing these central markets really are. You should get down here, get some boots on the ground, and see them for yourself. You'd be amazed. Then you'd see for yourself what a perfect place it is to pass off some really funny money. So then naturally the joy in my cleaning lady's face faded fast. And since she really is honest as the day is long, I'm sure she'll never try to pass that thing. Anyway, I told her if she did and got caught, who knows what the receiver or the crowd or the cops would do. You know how down here the sweaty masses sometimes take the law into their own hands. So anyway, just a little heads up here. That's why I never use the money changers on the street. The ones who flash wads of cash at you as you're walking or driving by saying, cambio, cambio. The thing is, down here in Latin America, as far as the local funny money, those bills come in different sizes, shapes, and colors. And oftentimes, you'll find one particular denomination, let's say 100 pesos, or lempiras, or quetzales. Well, there'll be two or three of the same kind of notes in circulation floating around that are absolutely legal. They just change the look in midstream. Just like in the States, as the years go by, sometimes they change the pictures of the letters or even slightly change the color of a bill as they print newer and newer editions. I mean, look at the US $100 bill. There are two versions of it floating around, right? Newer ones, which are kind of greenish blue and have a blue strip that runs vertically through them. And the older traditional ones, which are just plain green and off-white, where Franklin's head is a little bit smaller. The newer ones, of course, having more anti-counterfeit measures built into them because the older ones were getting much more easy to duplicate. Well, the same thing happens down here. Sometimes there's two or three different versions of the same denomination floating around, all perfectly legal. So think of it, with three bills with the same denomination floating around that are perfectly legal, how's a gringo going to know what's counterfeit and what's not? That's why you should always change money directly at a bank or ATM. Or get change from a known grocery store or business. Because they do check their bills. Now, as far as those guys on the street waving wads of dough, yelling cambio, cambio, I never use them. On the other hand, it's perfectly okay to use one of those cambio tiendas or booths, because then you're talking about a long-standing actual business that pays rent and had to get permits from the government to set up. By the way, they usually give the bank rate, unless you're at the airport, then you really get gouged. So by all means, use the money changer cambio booths and tiendas as long as they're not at the airport. Of course, the airport money changing booths will give you legit money in return, but they'll gouge you 5 or 10% over the bank rate. Of course, none of that soothes the pain my cleaning lady's feeling right now. She's feeling sad, but I'll make it up to her. You've heard me say this a million times before. They always appreciate a little bonus or freebie and or gifts and giveaways. So by all means, be generous. All right, now in the same vein, speaking of the ultimate in funny money, you must have by now heard of CBDC, that's Central Bank Digital Currency. Sooner or later, we're going to be forced to transition to digital money. Though the government's lying as usual, it's really a government surveillance and monitoring system on steroids. I know a lot of people are really worried about it up in the States, but what about down here in Latin America? Well, let's take this email on the subject from Winston Smith. He says, "Hi, Johnny, what's your take on the obvious move towards a central bank digital currency, CBDC? I understand at least fundamentally how it works and how it's going to impact U.S. citizens and why they're chomping at the bit to switch to this. My question is, Johnny, will this type of policy ever be adopted in Latin America? And do they even have the ability to follow in the U.S.'s footsteps without the help of the U.S.? Now that I'm writing this, I realize just how silly that sounds in Latin America." Then he says, "Any insight on this from your perspective would be greatly appreciated. Thanks. Signed, Winston Smith." By the way, Winston's an Expat Insider Seminar alumnus. He attended our most recent Expat Insider Seminar in March. So he's got some high-quality boots on the ground, and I guess that's why he said, finally, "Now that I'm writing this, I realize how silly that actually sounds in Latin America to have CBDC." But to answer your question, Winston, here's my thoughts. Now, you know, most every Latin American country has its own funny money paper currency. There's pesos, quetzales, lempiras, bolivars, soles, etc., etc. But there are those two or three Latin American countries that have switched over to the U.S. dollar because of hyperinflation or some other national banking catastrophe. Thinking at the time, since the U.S. dollar is so stable, or at least it was many years ago, that inflation and the markets would calm, and they did. Though, of course, these days we know no one's protected from inflation. Even the U.S. dollar's fallen apart. The dollar's trajectory, like every other funny money trajectory that's not backed by gold, silver, or some scarce commodity, ultimately goes to zero. They all have. With eventual hyperinflation in the cards, too. And you know what people don't seem to realize is that's happened to every single paper currency that's ever existed. Historically, that's hundreds of them. And they all started out being backed by gold or silver. And when they kept it that way, they remained strong and stable, some of them for hundreds of years. But when governments overspent, as they always do, and the MAGAtist politicians took their currencies off the gold standard, next step, roll the printing presses. Then it's the same old story. The public loses confidence, inflation sets in, then hyperinflation, and, well, you know the rest. So, Winston, as far as CBDC, I sort of think, and I've had this discussion with people a lot smarter than I am, when the U.S. rolls out CBDC, whenever that is, this year, next year, whenever, that means the Latin countries using the U.S. dollar right now, that would be Belize, Panama, and Ecuador, they will be forced into the U.S. CBDC system. One of the main goals of that system is to eliminate paper currency completely. That means no more physical U.S. dollars, forcing everyone to have a government CBDC account on their cell phones and computers where you'll be forced to do all your transactions. Now, all the other 15 or so Latin American countries with their own particular funny money, quetzales, pesos, bolivars, whatever, for them, it's going to be a long, rough, torturous road to CBDC because, for one thing, I could see a big problem with the U.S. CBDC being compatible or convertible to, say, Mexico, Peru, and Brazil's version of their CBDC. Not to mention getting the sweaty masses making $300 a month who are mostly working for cash, trying to get them into the CBDC system, that's going to take, who knows, another generation? I can tell you this, there'll be a lot of kicking, biting, scratching, and gnashing of teeth before that ever happens. Probably a few lynchings, too, which is all right with me. I'll even buy the rope and slap the horse as long as they're lynching the right people, that is, politicians. Now, I know some of you guys and gals out there are thinking, I failed to mention El Salvador as a country that's using the U.S. dollar. Well, you know, since Bitcoin's legal tender there, El Salvador is a special case. So my guess is people there will probably reject CBDC altogether and stick with Bitcoin. Those are my thoughts, but who knows? In other words, if you're living here in Latin America, as far as implementing CBDC, don't hold your breath. I mean, look, they pass all kinds of laws here in Latin America. They copy everything the U.S. does. Yet enforcement is not only spotty, it's mostly non-existent. So how can these governments be expected to pass a controversial and complicated thing like CBDC? Then force it on people when 30 to 40% of them don't have bank accounts or credit cards. Speaking of lack of enforcement of laws, did you know it's been exactly 1 year since that law was passed? I reported it to you in Ecuador, prohibiting two or more people on a motorcycle. A good law for a change, too. You might remember me talking about that law. I gave him a lot of praise on this show. It was a simple and straightforward solution to the problem. You've heard me tell the story many times. Two guys on a bike is the number one way you get robbed in Latin America. How could it miss? What a great idea. Takes a guy on the back seat with two free hands to assault and rob. So you make two guys on a bike illegal. Well, guess what? It was undue praise too soon, like a year too soon. Turns out, according to police records, over that year period that law has been in effect, there's been absolutely no enforcement of that law at all. No one's been arrested. No fines or tickets have been issued. No motorcycles impounded. So just think of it. In a country that's becoming gringo-wise, that's been touted by International Living and AARP and other retirement rags as one of the top destinations for expat retirees, if they can't enforce a simple law that's either black or white, you're either violating the law or not. It's something a cop could spot at a long distance, blocks away. That said, you gotta wonder, when the U.S. finally flips the switch and you're forced into using CBDC, what will happen in countries like Ecuador that use the U.S. dollar when the U.S. decrees their funny money, their paper money, can no longer be used? It's all got to be digital. Of course, there will be a deadline when everyone has to turn in their fiat paper money for CBDC. My prediction? Chaos. By the way, have you put any thought into what happens to all the trillions of dollars? I mean, actual physical paper dollars floating around outside the U.S. because they say, you know, there are facts to support this. There are more U.S. dollars floating around outside the U.S. than in. Have you thought about what the rest of the world's going to do when suddenly all the U.S. funny money floating around is declared no longer legal tender? In the States, they'll probably do what every other country does when they devalue their currency. They'll tell you your old paper currency is only good to the end of the month. They'll tell you you can have your paper money credited to your new CBDC account by taking your paper money to any bank by the end of the month. That will most probably be what happens in the States. They'll tell you all the paper money you're holding has an expiration date. That means a lot of old moldy bills will be coming out of mattresses. The question is, how are they going to do that with all the money floating around in India, China, Central, South America, Australia, Indonesia, Europe, and even Russia? Are they going to make contingencies? Are they going to say U.S. paper money is only not legal in the United States and its territories like Puerto Rico and Guam, and let it remain legal tender in the rest of the world? I haven't heard anyone talk about that, have you? What a mess, huh? Or am I missing something here? All right, not really changing gears, because we're going to talk about cleaning ladies again. Always a hot topic. And a touchy one, too. For one thing, you got to get a cleaning lady that's not going to steal from you. I've had at least two who were thieves. In my 30-plus years down here, I've almost always had a cleaning lady. I've been through at least 10 of them in 4 or 5 different Latin countries. By the way, I know that once in a while I repeat that I've been down here 30-plus years. I don't do it because I'm pretentious or trying to toot my own horn in some way. I mention that long stretch of time on occasion because it's pertinent to the facts. I mean, look, when I tell a story or lay down a certain fact or strange, odd, or weird piece of information, the way it sinks in for you, the way you take it, or dismiss it, whatever, can and does depend a lot on the context and years of experience. I mean, look, suppose I was down here in Latin America only 6 months, and I started telling you about mating and dating, gringos and Latinas, gringas and Latinos, all based on, let's say, just one girlfriend I had in that 6 months. Now, what about a gringo that's been down here 30-plus years who's had at least 15 different Latina girlfriends in that time? What kind of weight are you going to put on his message compared to the guy who's been down only 6 months and had one girlfriend? Or, say, for example, I was a gringo who'd been down here a year and only had experience with one bank, and I did a show on that. How would you weigh that experience, those facts, against a guy who's been down here 30-plus years and has used maybe 10 different Latin American banks? How are you going to weigh those two guys' banking experiences and stories? Which guy are you going to listen to more carefully? I know, you get it. Anyway, since we were talking about cleaning ladies, comes this email from one of our listeners, Doug. He says, Johnny, over the weekend, my wife and I went to her niece and her husband's house for a family gathering. My in-laws, my wife's sister, her aunt, and a couple of cousins were there too. Of course, we're living in the States, but we got to talking about our plans to move to Guatemala. And I showed her aunt the two cost of living websites you recommended on a previous show. Showing her that, I plugged in my expected net income after taxes, and the website estimated what my cost of living would be in Washington, D.C. versus Guatemala. Well, the aunt was a little surprised and noted we could easily afford a maid on that kind of money in Guatemala. So I joked that the maid necessarily had to be over 40 years old, since I would be down in Guatemala on my own for 2 years before my wife came down. Of course, insinuating that a maid over 40 years old would give me little chance for hanky-panky. Because, you know, 2 years without the wife is a long time. But as luck would have it, the aunt didn't quite get my drift and started offering to help me find a maid of any age, 15, 18, 20, 25, 30, not 40 plus, but all on the younger side. All the while, I kept reminding her that the maid had to be older, but she still didn't get it. And when she finally did, she shrugged and said, well, you'll be there alone and who'll know? Don't know if she was kidding or not. My wife chimed in that I could do whatever I wanted, as long as she wasn't there. I was thinking, was she baiting me? Were the both of them baiting me? So now, Johnny, I'm left wondering if this was a hall pass or get out of jail free pass. Or am I setting myself up for trouble? Then he says, I think I told you my wife is partly Mayan descent, unlike my older brother's wife, who is Cherokee and very jealous, and when in doubt, will scalp you. On the other hand, Mayans just cut people's hearts out. What do you think, Johnny? What do I do? Is it time to phone a friend, maybe? Haha, Doug. You know, there's two ironclad rules for hiring a cleaning lady. Number one, always let your wife, girlfriend, or better half interview, select, and hire her. Number two, if you're single and don't have a better half at the moment, pick a short, fat, ugly, or old one. Never, never pick a hottie. Because as much fun as she might be to have around, the situation is likely to turn sour and come back to bite you in the ass.
South of the border. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.